My guest at this time is New York Republican Congresswoman Anne Marie Burkle. She is a freshman representing the Empire State's 25th Congressional District. She joins me now to talk about a major development in the health care debate, especially as it relates to the president's health care plan and what and will not be implemented. And that relates to the CLASS program, which last Friday the administration admitted is not currently financially sustainable. And Congresswoman, thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, this was a program designed to have a lot of folks pay into long-term insurance plans while they were still plenty healthy, so they wouldn't be collecting any benefits. And then later, if they ran into disabilities, would be able to draw about $50 a day if necessary. What was the eventual linchpin here that convinced even the administration that this wasn't going to work fiscally?
Well, there are a number of things, and I think, first of all, the CLASS program speaks really to the overall health care reform bill that really was done in a very reckless manner, and now we're beginning to see these unintended consequences, or maybe not so unintended. This CLASS Act was created so that people could buy long-term health insurance, and the premise was that they would pay into this for 5 years and not be able to collect any benefits through that time. And actually, the CBO used that 5 years of people paying into the plan. That's how they scored savings on this health care bill, in this health care law now. So that should be of concern, and that immediately is of concern because they've been touting this bill saying it's going to save us money when, in fact, it was based on a false premise, this scoring of the CLASS. So that's a concern. So, but what they realized was unless people were paying roughly $3,000 a month into this plan, there was no way that it was going to be sustainable, and no one's going to buy long-term insurance for $3,000 a month. And so even Kathleen Sebelius last week, as you know, late Friday afternoon released a paper to Congress saying that this bill, this portion of the bill is unsustainable and they're just not going to implement it.
So what does that mean now for the bottom line? If the CBO scored it with the CLASS program supposedly making this cost efficient for U.S. taxpayers, now that those numbers are kicked to the curb, where do we stand?
Well, I think it's fair to say that those savings that they were touting with the CLASS program were really illusory. And so now I think I would not be surprised if you saw another CBO scoring based on, I'm sure that the Republicans will call for it. Okay, now what's this bill going to cost if you take out what they said would save the taxpayers $70 billion?
On to another aspect of this, and that is that even though the administration apparently is admitting that this is not feasible and they're not going to move forward with it, they are not supportive of a congressional effort to repeal it officially from the law. What have you heard about that, and what's your reaction to that?
It's pretty interesting because you would think that the president would be out there talking about this health care law and what a great thing it has done for the nation, but you don't hear much about that. And I think, I think for him to come out and acknowledge that this part of the health care law is flawed, it's what we thought was going to create all the savings in the health care law, and I think for him it would be a defeat. And so he's not talking about it, certainly doesn't want to see it be repealed.
How much do you still hear about the health care plan when you go up like a week like this and talk to your constituents with so much going on in terms of the jobs debate, regulations, foreign affairs, I'm sure, on some level? How much of a factor is this still in the conversations you have with your voters?
Every conversation I have, especially with my small business owners, and I just came from a group of construction industry. I met with 30 of them this afternoon. Last week we had a round table with 15 small business owners. The health care law is one of their biggest concerns because of the uncertainty and the costs involved and the compliance with the law. HHS just revealed that to date, now this isn't completed, but to date there are 30,000 pages of regulations with regards to the health care law. Now, businesses, small business owners, are just throwing up their hands saying, how do you decipher that? How do you decode it? How do you make sure that we're going to comply with it, and then the cost that's involved with it? So many say to me, the best thing I can do is pay that penalty, put my employees into the pool. It's not what I want to do. I want to be a responsible employer. I want to pay for their health insurance. I want them to have a health savings account. But the reality of what this law is doing to them is it's really dramatic. I hear it over and over and over again.
What else are you hearing from your constituents? What do they think, for example, of the president's jobs program compared to what you and your Republican colleagues in the House are doing to facilitate greater job creation through regulation rollback and tax certainty?
Well, it was interesting today with this group of construction members. They're small business owners, construction industry. They said to me, you know, when our company is spending more money than we take in, we don't go out and spend more money. We tighten our belts and we either cut employees or we cut costs in order to get the company back on a solid ground. And they, not one person in that room thought that spending money was the way to get this economy back on track. Many of them talked about the onerous regulations, especially in the construction industry, especially the EPA, the burdens that they're placing on businesses, again, with compliance and the cost of compliance. And one of them specifically said in that $4,000 job credit, tax credit, to hire somebody, he said, I don't hire somebody because I'm going to get a $4,000 tax credit. I hire people because I need them. And until there's a demand for a product or a demand for a service, I'm not going to hire somebody because it costs me far more than $4,000 a year to hire someone and pay their benefits. So a lot of interesting discussion, a lot of them extremely frustrated because they feel that they're actually feeling like they're being treated as the enemy rather than the job creators that they are. That's their frustration. We will create the jobs if you just get the government out of our way to do that.
We're talking with New York Congresswoman Anne Marie Burkle. And Congresswoman, in our last minute or so here, I should also point out to our listeners that you're a member of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, which, if they're regular listeners, will know, is the committee that's very closely investigating the botched Fast and Furious operation that was apparently supposed to put guns in the hands of Mexican drug cartels and eventually lead to a major bust. Instead, they led to a series of murders, including that of a Border Patrol agent. The latest we've heard is that your chairman, Congressman Issa, has subpoenaed a number of documents as well as further testimony from Attorney General Holder. What do you still need answers to more than anything?
Well, there's still the question that has not been answered is where did this order come from? Where did this plan come from? How far up to the top did this, you know, and did he know about it and then lied to Congress in the May hearing that was held? Or did he really not know? And then the question becomes, well, is he competent to be our attorney general if he doesn't know that this plan is going on? But during the course of those hearings, it was really remarkable. The mother, Brian Terry's mother, was there, his sister, his cousin, and several of the Border Patrol agents were there. And they all testified that they had never seen anything like this plan before being executed, where guns were allowed to walk, and they've never seen that before. Guns were always tracked and confiscated back. And now, as we know, not only was Brian Terry's life lost, but several hundred Mexican lives have been lost, all at the hands of these illegal guns that were let walk by this botched plan. So I am confident that Chairman Issa will continue his pursuit to find out where this order came from, who thought up this scheme, and then hold that person accountable.
We'll keep watching the work that you do. Congresswoman, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me. Always a pleasure.
New York Republican Congresswoman Anne Marie Burkle. She's a freshman representing her state's 25th congressional district. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.